Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk. Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Guy with the rebound to Fox. Fox stops at the three-point line, takes another one. He's got another one. He's got 38. He is just in a zone right now.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox was in a zone for the Sacramento Kings tonight as he goes for a career-high 44. The Warriors led 37-35 at the end of the first quarter, but he took the ball game over. De'Aaron Fox did in the second, along with Tyrese Haliburton, the rookie, and 37-24 Sacramento in the second quarter, and the Kings would take the game over at that point and roll the Golden State Warriors tonight. 141-119 is the final in this one. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. So the Warriors now 22-23. That's right, they're under 500 for the first time. You got to go all the way back to January the 1st, that's right, New Year's night, the Golden State Warriors were 2-3 after they lost their home opener to the Portland Trail Blazers. They got to 3-3 the next game as Stephen Curry went for 62 against those same Blazers. And then the Warriors beat the Kings the following night, blew them out inside Chase Center. They were 4-3. The Warriors have seven other times played a game where they've been exactly 500. And they had won seven straight in those games. But tonight, that string comes to an end. And let's be honest, it was a rough, rough night defensively for the Golden State Warriors. Offensively, 119, you'll take that. You like that. But giving up 141 to the Sacramento Kings with some offensive firepower, but not the most deep of teams, and they let De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton just go wild in this one, and they lose it 141-119. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, over the course of the next hour here, but I want to give the people a little bit of an opportunity to vent tonight, because I'm having a tough time here with this one as the Warriors get blown out. Not a great night for James Wiseman. I think everybody within the Warriors organization would admit that this was one of the rougher performances of his young career, and maybe another case where the stops and starts continue to hurt him and hurt his development over the course of this season. A struggle. I mean, Rashawn Holmes really took it to him. Holmes is having a nice year. He's a veteran, and you know he can bother. You know, even some pretty good centers, let alone those that are in the early going of the career, like James Wiseman is. And then Nico Mannion tonight. We can talk about the offense from Nico Mannion, which was solid, a career high for Mannion, 19. He knocked down 5 of 8 from three, but it was a rough night for Nico Mannion defensively tonight, as he was matched up with Fox quite a bit. I know Wiggins was on Fox at different stretches of this basketball game. But I kind of chalked tonight up with Stephen Curry out, and the Warriors now 1-5 without Stephen Curry on the season. And I think, hey, this is going to be tough. And you find out 90 minutes before the game that Draymond Green's going to be out, and it's going to be even tougher at that point for the Warriors to get a win. And I don't want to say they had everybody fooled necessarily, but I think these are the kind of games where you look at the way the Warriors were able to be competitive against Memphis, come storming back after getting down big against Philadelphia, the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference, to make that a competitive game into the middle of the fourth quarter before the Sixers put the clamps down and put the Warriors away. And I think at times, because the Warriors had been so competitive in those games, you start to think, hey, the Warriors can be competitive every single night, even without Stephen Curry, and now tonight without Draymond Green. And the reality is, and I think I said this to Covey on Tuesday night, the longer you have to play without Stephen Curry, the eventually you're going to run into one of these games, even against an opponent like the Sacramento Kings, who are beneath the Warriors in the standings. So I chalk a night like tonight up to it's part of what player development is. Like, it's part of, hey, the Warriors are in a tough spot right now with the injuries and the illness to Draymond Green. So they've shifted toward, hey, Jordan Poole's going to start, and Nico Mannion is the backup point guard now. You saw a greater indication of even that with Brad Wanamaker being traded to the Charlotte Hornets in a trade that became official late tonight in the ball game after it was approved earlier today, and so it's Nico Mannion's show as far as being the backup point guard now, and he comes out and plays 30 minutes tonight and scores the basketball and knocks down shots, and you can see his feel for the game. But the flip side of that is the defense. And you're going up against somebody that can score at a high level and is playing extremely well, and De'Aaron Fox, and is fast and quick as anybody in the league, and can get to the basket and can pull up from the mid-range. And it's a learning moment and type of a game for a guy like Nico Mannion. Jordan Poole, another rough shooting game for Jordan Poole in this one, as he shoots 5 of 13 for 17 points. But not to be harsh about it, but I just think it's kind of part of the deal for a team that suddenly finds themselves in this position where player development is more of a focus. And I get it. The Warriors have kind of gone back and forth, I feel like, with the messaging at times this year, right? James Wiseman starts at the beginning of the year, and it's about player development for him, but you're trying to win. He gets taken out of the starting lineup. Steph starts going off and playing at an MVP level, and the Warriors figured out, I think, the best rotation to try and win some games. They built themselves up to a 19-15 record. Jordan Poole was sent to the G League to work on his game. And at times it's appeared as if the Warriors were really trying to put things together to win as many games as they possibly can. And at times it's felt like when things haven't maybe gone as well, the Warriors have shifted gears to, all right, it's about player development. And lately it's felt really like they've kind of gone back and forth between the two based on that night's circumstances. And I think these last couple of nights it's been really more about player development. And that's going to be a scenario where you're going to take your lumps if you're a young player. And I think as a team, this Warriors group is just going to have to take their lumps from time to time. And that means losing in what, frankly, to the box score and to the eye, and if you're waking up tomorrow and you're looking at the scores, is an embarrassing score to lose to the Sacramento Kings 141 to 119. So 888-957-9570. Wiseman with one of his worst games. But again, for me, it's just kind of part of the deal. He's got to go through it, and Juan Toscano-Anderson at one point tried to pick him up and said, hey, you got to keep going. You got to keep playing. And I think all of Wiseman's struggles now are going to benefit the youngster later on in his career. I think Nico Mannion getting cooked by De'Aaron Fox, who's in his fourth year playing at a borderline all-star level, that's going to help him moving forward. And you take the good with the bad, and the good tonight was maybe the offensive game from somebody like Nico Mannion. So 888-957-9570. Let's get to Body Blow on the phone lines. Body Blow in Colma, you're up first here tonight on Warriors Wrap-Up with JD. What's going on, Body Blow?
Good evening, JD. Yeah, I was agreeing with everything you're saying. But, you know, I was just wanted to talk about Tyrese Haliburton, how the rookie center looked great shooting threes. And I was just thinking the same way, if Wiseman was allowed to work on his perimeter jumper instead of low posting, he still doesn't look good, feel comfortable low posting. And then if he was given the time, like Haliburton, to work on that jumper, they would have probably been at the same pace right now with their outside jumpers. I don't know. That's all I was thinking. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. Look, Tyrese Haliburton's a combo guard, and James Wiseman's a big man. And look, James Wiseman, I will say this, throughout this early going of the season, and as the season has progressed and we're now in the home stretch here, at least getting close to it, Wiseman does look more comfortable shooting from the outside, facing up, getting down in the dunker spot, maybe taking lobs. Where he looks his least comfortable is when he gets the ball in the low post and he's asked to go to work and make moves and try to play one-on-one in that particular area. Like that's when he looks his worst. And so I think the Warriors are trying to find ways to feed him, but the truth is I think tonight in part you miss Draymond Green both ways. You miss Draymond Green defensively as your middle linebacker, the captain of your defense, a guy that's switching out on everybody, a guy that's making sure people are in the right spot, a guy that's going to help make the right switches and get guys in the right positions to where you don't let De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton run wild. So Draymond defensively, you miss him there. But offensively, Draymond Green is one of the few guys that I think looks to get the ball to James Wiseman in some of those positions where James Wiseman is more comfortable. There was just a disorganized aspect to this Warriors team on both sides of the ball that's natural because they're playing without their quarterback on defense and they're playing without their best offensive player and a multi-time All-Star, a future Hall of Famer in Stephen Curry. So I get it looks ugly. You're trying to make sense of it, but not having those players matter. And, you know, it's a bad look, and I think it's a bad look tonight when you lose the way that the Warriors did when you were competitive in some of these other games. But I also think, unfortunately, right now, it's going to have to be part of the process until Draymond Green is feeling better and can get back out there on the court. And Stephen Curry hopefully can come back a week from tonight after he misses tomorrow and misses the game on Monday. And the Warriors are going to wind up hitting the road and taking on the Miami Heat a week from tonight. I mean, at this point, the Warriors are just in hold on for dear life and try to win a game. Maybe whether it's, you know, tomorrow or the Chicago game. I mean, that's the other part of where this team's at right now. No game is, hey, that's the game they should get. And I think tonight indicates that. If you didn't already know that, I think maybe you might have gotten a little bit fooled by the competitive nature of the way the Warriors played in the two games against Memphis and the one game against Philly. Let's get to Jeff in Walnut Creek. Jeff is up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, John. This is not a knock on Steve Kerr necessarily, but for a coach that preaches so much about how important defense is, when Draymond Green is not out there, this team completely falls apart defensively. And I'm not sure when you have athletic players on the court like Andrew Wiggins, like Kelly Oubre, I'm not sure what's happening where the coach talks about how important defense is, but for some reason that is not translating to the players unless Draymond is out there. And then as a follow-up question, why did Eric Paschal not play tonight, especially if Draymond is not out there? That's all I got.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I'll answer the last part first. Eric Paschal right now is out of the rotation. And I think you're right. You could make a case that you'd want to see him get some minutes with Draymond out because you're down a forward, so another forward would play. Look, Juan Toscano-Anderson right now is a better fit for what the Warriors try to do, really on both ends, than Eric Paschal is. So Juan Toscano-Anderson getting the start is natural, and that's something that I think, you know, Steve Kerr has gone to really since the third game of the season, when you go back to the Warriors losing the first couple to Brooklyn and to the Milwaukee Bucks. Third game of the season, Paschal gets taken out, Juan Toscano-Anderson gets put in, and that's pretty much been the way that Steve Kerr has rolled with it. The problem is Paschal doesn't pair well with the other bigs. You know, he doesn't pair well with Wiseman when those two are out there together. He doesn't play well with Looney when those two are out there together. And he doesn't play well, really, with Draymond when those two are out there together. So I think at this point, it's just hard to find the right combination, and you almost feel like you have to play him at the five to where he's going to be most effective. Maybe you play him and Juan Toscano-Anderson together, but right now Juan Toscano-Anderson is your starter, so that means you're going to be taking minutes away from Draymond Green, I guess, at that point in time. So it's just a bad combination of players. So it's all bad, and it leads to him taking a seat on the bench. Now I get where you're coming from, where you say, well, why not throw him out there? Maybe he can you know, play some bully ball and score, get some buckets against a Kings team that can struggle defending from time to time. I think that makes a lot of sense. But at this point, I think it's just about combinations. I mean, Steve Kerr's all about combinations, players that play well together. And right now, Pascal, even with Draymond Green out, finds himself in a position where he's just not in position to get the nod. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. It's John Dickinson, and it's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game here as the Warriors lose to the Sacramento Kings 141-119. No Stephen Curry in this one, no Draymond Green in this one, and the Warriors now are under 500 for the first time since January the 1st. All right, let's go ahead and hear a little bit from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following the ball game tonight. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about a rough, rough night for James Wiseman.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Kareth.
Do you think James Wiseman could use a boost in confidence?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, that was a tough game for him. He's 19 and it's the NBA, and you know, this is the way it goes. You gotta take your lumps. So James is gonna get a lot better, but this is why we gotta play him. We gotta, you know, he's gotta be out there and earn, you know, get those minutes and feel the speed of the game. And you know, it just takes time, especially for big guys.
What do you think are better ways to maybe unlock him?
Just experience. He just needs to play. It's not about, you know, calling plays or you know, doing one thing or another. It's just about playing. You know, when you know, at this level, the game happens so fast. There's so much to process. There's a reason that most guys who come in to the league, you know, without basically any college experience at 19, there's a reason they struggle. Look at Kevin Garnett when he came into the league straight out of high school. You think it went smoothly for him? It's just minutes. It's minutes and exposure and experience and understanding that there's going to be some lumps. So everybody's just got to stay patient. It's going to happen for him.
Steve, what area of his game would you expect him to improve quicker in the upcoming weeks, and why?
He needs minutes. The speed of the game right now is the big adjustment, which it would be for anybody in his position, but especially for a 7-footer. So as the speed of the game slows down, as he gets more comfortable with the pace and the speed and everything that's happening and the coverages and all the information that you have to process, then everything will improve. It happens with all young guys, but particularly, as I said, you know, guys with no college experience, it's hard out there, but it's going to slow down and he's going to get much better.
So there's Steve Kerr talking about James Wiseman's night and basically saying that it's part of the deal, that he just needs to play and work himself through it and get used to the speed of the game. The one part that continues to come up for me that I find to be the most problematic is not the struggles, but it really seems like Wiseman is wearing it. It just really seems like he's wearing it. You know, every mistake, it looks like, and again, I'm not inside James Wiseman's head, so I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speculate or go far too down this path. I'm reluctant to do that, but he just looks like he gets really down on himself because he wants to play well, and it's almost as if he realizes in the moment the mistakes that he made, and then he knows at the same time that he can't go back and fix it right away. So then he's eager to not let it happen again, and then maybe that creates another mistake, and then stretches of games can kind of snowball on him a little bit. And I think tonight the biggest part for me was the frustration showing again. It was kind of a rough It was kind of a rough body language type of a game, I thought, for James Wiseman in what was, I think you could make a case that this was among the worst games that he's played. I know he's had a couple against the Lakers that were struggles, but he really, really had a rough go of it tonight against Rashawn Holmes. And a tough go when he got some paint catches and touches. A rough go, I thought, defensively. And look, for him, it's just a matter of, I hate saying this, and I know it makes some fans bristle when I do say it, but this is what development looks like. Development is making mistakes and bouncing back and making yourself a better player for it as you move on down the line. And I think the stops and starts really have hurt Wiseman, where he's in the starting lineup and then he's not, and then he starts to get rolling coming off the bench, and then he finds his way out of the lineup because he has an injury, and then he comes back and it takes him a while to get rolling again, and then you hit the All-Star break and you think, all right, it's time maybe for him to get back into the, you know, playing more minutes or get back into the starting lineup again, and then he has the setback with the COVID test, so he misses a practice and he can't play until the fourth quarter of the Clipper game, and now he's in a funk again. And he's in a funk now where you have Steve Kerr basically anointing him as the starter. Like, go get him. And so what you want is him to grab that and take it and move forward and just hold down that role and continue to get better. And I feel like there's almost maybe some added pressure that he's putting on himself at this point because he's now the guy, and he now knows that he's the guy. And it's sort of sink or swim for him. So best thing for him, I think, best thing for the Warriors, keeping it rolling and getting to play another game in less than 24 hours inside Chase Center. Going to be going up against a better opponent than the Warriors face tonight in the Sacramento Kings. But again, at this point, it really doesn't matter the opponent when the Warriors don't have Stephen Curry, and then especially don't have Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit more from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. Anytime there's issues with Wiseman, confidence becomes an issue, and that is the next question. I touched on it, and here's what Steve Kerr said about Wiseman maybe needing a confidence boost.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, that was a tough game for him. He's 19 and it's the NBA, and this is the way it goes. You gotta take your lumps. So James is gonna get a lot better, but this is why we gotta play him. We gotta, you know, he's gotta be out there and earn, you know, get those minutes and feel the speed of the game. And you know, it just takes time, especially for big guys.
Yeah, it takes time. So again, the confidence comes with just playing. I think, you know, more minutes. And so that's a big part of what Steve Kerr is trying to accomplish here with him and with Poole and even with a guy like Nico Mannion. And look, at times it's gonna be ugly. And tonight was a game where it looked ugly. They let De'Aaron Fox get going. De'Aaron Fox is playing at a high level. And he goes for a career high, and Tyrese Halliburton was riding right there with him, and Rashawn Holmes was getting after it, and it didn't much matter the fact that Andrew Wiggins had a 20-point first half and was aggressive, because the Warriors just weren't playing any semblance of defense at the level that they needed to play in this game to keep it competitive and have an opportunity to win it down the stretch. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Hey, you're going to want to hear what Kelly Oubre had to say in his post-game press conference in Sacramento, as Kelly Oubre did remain with the Golden State Warriors beyond the trade deadline. And he was asked a couple of different times about his future. You're not going to want to miss what he had to say. We'll hear more from Steve Kerr. We'll also have who's hot and who's not as well. Still time for some phone calls as the Warriors lose to the Sacramento Kings tonight. Kings win 141-119. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
All right, John Dickinson here rolling along, 888-957-9570. Kings beat the Warriors 141-119. Warriors back at it tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game as they will take on the Atlanta Hawks inside Chase Center. Dubs now 22-23. And quickly looking at the standings a little bit, their hold on the 10th spot in the Western Conference is dwindling a little bit. As you look, Sacramento picks up a game on the Warriors there. Memphis has been playing a little bit better since the Warriors beat them. They've won three in a row since the Warriors won the first of that back-to-back 6 nights ago on Friday. So the Warriors now a game back of the Grizzlies, who are in ninth, and Sacramento is now the 11th team. So they're the next closest team or the first team out of the play-in tournament, and they are up to 20-25. They've actually won 5 of 6. We talked in the pregame about how streaky the Kings have been this year. They've had 6 of 7 stretch. They've had a 7 of 8 stretch, winning and losing. They've had a 9-game losing streak, and now they've won 5 of 6 again. They're only 2 games back of the Warriors, although I do think the one thing the Warriors believe they have in their back pocket between now and the rest of the year is they think they're going to be able to get it together, get Steph back, get Draymond back, and even if they are developing Poole because he's a rotation piece and developing Mannion because he's the backup point guard and allowing Wiseman to learn and grow, although there will be nights where he struggles, I think the Warriors do believe, especially with Kelly Oubre sticking around, that they've got enough to hold off whether it's Sacramento or the Pelicans or the Thunder or any of those teams and still get a shot at making the postseason and, hell, maybe even have a shot to move up and get into the conversation as far as, you know, you get to the 8th seed, you get 2 chances to win 1 game. You get to the 7th seed, you get 2 home games with a shot to win 1 game to get yourself into the tournament. So I think all of that at this point is still very much on the table for the Warriors. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. All right, Kelly Oubre remaining with the Golden State Warriors beyond the trade deadline. That was the big news today, and I think the Warriors happy to have him. How does it pertain to next year? And you would think that the Warriors would want to keep Kelly Oubre beyond the remainder of this year, obviously with not too many ways other than a sign and trade to where they could now acquire another player in return for him. Oubre, 19 points tonight, 8 of 17 shooting. Interesting exchange we want to play for you here. This chunk of Kelly Oubre sound where he was asked about the deadline and a lot of other things. Nick Friedel of ESPN, Anthony Slater, Wes Goldberg, all posing the questions to Kelly Oubre. So let's hear from him.
Kelly, are you hoping to make the Warriors the team you're with for years to come?
I would love that. At the end of the day, this is a business. We got through one step. The next step is, you know, giving my all to this team so that, you know, we can reach our goals this season. And then this summer, that's another step. So I'm just kind of in the moment right now, and I'm here. I'm a Warrior.
As far as the future goes, I mean, you know, Clay's coming back, and you know the ramifications there. Would you be comfortable staying with the Warriors if it meant coming off the bench next season?
I can't speak for the future, brother. So, I mean, you keep asking me questions like I'm a psychic, but at the end of the day, I'm growing. You know, I'm honing in on my skills in this league, and I can offer a lot more than, you know, coming off the bench. So, at the end of the day, this is, you know, this is my life. So, I can't tell the future. Only God can.
Were there any talks with the Warriors about your future or you know, before the deadline or no? No?
You talking about the game? That would be great.
Yeah. What do you think was the kind of the defensive problem tonight?
They've had more force than us. They played with a little bit more pace. Fox is obviously on a tear right now, and, you know, he's the fastest point guard in the league. So, you know, it's kind of hard to stop that when we're all playing on our heels the whole game. And, you know, it's just putting complete games together, man, so that we can, you know, own the tempo, own the pace, and pretty much just own – energy in the game, and I feel like they had the upper hand like that tonight.
Do
Steve said that he still believes that you guys can make a run here in this playoff push. What do you think needs to happen for you guys to do that?
We just need to make, you know, continue to formulate winning habits. There is an algorithm to, you know, the great teams in this league, and I've said that before. You know, we need to just make that a just consistent effort each and every night, playing together, making sure that, you know, we do the details, follow the scouting report, look at player tendencies, and, you know, we just improvise together as a unit, and, you know, we stay on one accord. And I think that, you know, we're slowly but surely, man, this is coming together. And I agree with him. I believe so too.
Kelly, obviously you can't predict the future, and we'll see what happens this summer. But would you be willing to take less money?
Bro, I'm not answering your questions no more. I'm sorry. Next question.
Thank you, guys. Godspeed. Love is love.
Kelly Oubre there with the exchange with Nick Friedel. A couple of questions from Nick about the future. Kelly Oubre not exactly interested in talking about the future. I think maybe some of that is just the heat of coming off a game where you get thumped. But all due respect to Kelly Oubre, the game tonight is far less relevant than the story of the day, which is that Kelly Oubre remains a Golden State Warrior between now and the rest of the season. And Oubre pretty clear in not accounting for much or wanting to account for much with respect to his future. Said got through one step, meaning he's still around, wants to get through the next step, talking about the remainder of the regular season, and then get to the summer. Oubre asked, would you be comfortable staying with the Warriors if you're not starting? And he said he feels he has more to offer, didn't want to predict the future. We're going to have to re-rack probably the first half of that cut. But 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, kind of an alarming little stretch there. And the one thing about cryptic answers flat out, you know, disdain for the questions from Kelly Oubre, and we've learned this over, you know, time in dealing with Kevin Durant, and obviously, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? That question isn't going away. Like, that question isn't going away, and when a player doesn't want to answer it, again, you respect his wishes, but at the same time, when the Warriors make the decision that they're going to keep Kelly Oubre between now and the end of the season, the future is what's on everybody's mind. And look, I know he can't say today 100% he's going to stay. It sounds like they haven't had conversations necessarily about the future or future roles or anything like that, which I find to be surprising. Now, maybe that's just Kelly Oubre not wanting to get into that, not wanting to make maybe private conversations public. So he's just covering in that respect. But some alarming answers, I think, from Kelly Oubre here with respect to his future. And then at the end of that, growing so frustrated with the line of questioning from Nick, that he says, yeah, I'm done. I'm not answering any more questions from you. So that's an unexpected turn tonight, because I've thought really since we got past the trade deadline at noon this afternoon that, you know, this whole thing with Kelly Oubre would take on a little bit more of a positive tone. But man, that was a rough and awkward and really headline garnering back and forth that is going to be a major topic of discussion not only tonight but all day tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game, and probably into the weekend and between now and the end of the season and beyond, because the Warriors determining that they were not going to trade Kelly Oubre at the deadline, I mean, that in essence, if you're the Warriors, you're hoping at that point that he's willing to come off the bench. You're hoping at that point that he wants to stay. You're hoping at that point that maybe you've had some conversations, hypothetically or not, about what maybe the future would look like. So Surprising turn of events, to say the least, with respect to those comments. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, if you want to react to that, as Kelly Oubre met with the media here. We'll run through a couple of these here just individually after playing that whole chunk of audio. Here's what Oubre had to say, talking about the feeling of knowing if he's staying.
I don't know the right words to put it so that people don't spin it, but obviously, you know, it comes with the territory. I mean, this is a pretty, I guess, important year, but, you know, I'm in a great situation right now. So all in all, man, I'm just happy to be here.
So happy to be here, but happy to be here now. And I think it's interesting. We've had this conversation with Covey from time to time. I mean, if I'm Kelly Oubre, I would not want to leave the Golden State Warriors now by any means. Like, I would want to be running with Steph and running with Draymond and running with this Warriors team to try and get them into the postseason and then letting the chips fall where they may in the offseason. I also wouldn't be somebody that would necessarily be given a commitment, but I did find it surprising that he, and again, maybe just protecting private conversations and not wanting them to become public. It's interesting here. Let's re-rack what he had to say about maybe coming off the bench.
I can't speak for the future, brother. So, I mean, you keep asking me questions like I'm a psychic. But at the end of the day, I'm growing. You know, I'm honing in on my skills in this league, and I can offer a lot more than, you know, coming off the bench. So at the end of the day, this is, you know, this is my life, so I can't tell the future. Only God can.
That sounds like a guy that may not want to come off the bench. And look, he may not have to come off the bench because Klay Thompson may not be ready at the beginning of the year, but at some point, injuries happen, and sometimes those things take care of themselves. But if the Warriors have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green and James Wiseman next year, in all likelihood, he'd be coming off the bench. And that's a conversation that would have to be had between the organization and Kelly Oubre, and it would have to be had, and he obviously would have to be cool with it. Otherwise, he would be looking to maybe sign via free agency with another team. So interesting stuff from Kelly Oubre tonight. He was also asked, again, the questions that are on everybody's mind. Do you want to be here? Are you happier here? Would you come off the bench? The other one was Nick Friedell of ESPN asking him if he would potentially take less money.
Bro, I'm not asking your questions no more. I'm sorry. Next question.
Thank you, guys. Godspeed. Love is love.
So that's it. We'll call it a night on that note as far as Kelly Oubre goes here. And the Warriors onto the Atlanta Hawks. But, man, that's the one thing that I keep coming back to in situations like that is when you take that kind of tact. And, again, I'm all for honesty. I'm all for speaking your mind. I'm all for having a little bit of an edge and getting a little bit, you know, curt or perturbed or annoyed with a line of questioning. Like, I have no problem with that. From time to time. But the one thing that you have to understand when you do that is that makes it less likely to go away than more likely. And look, I'll be honest. I mean, the Warriors now are going to get questioned about this a heck of a lot more because now it's out there. Him saying that there haven't been conversations about the future, him not wanting to get into next year, starting or not. I mean, the Warriors now are going to have to answer questions because if it comes to light that, you know, maybe some of these conversations hadn't been had, then that paints the Warriors maybe in a position where they're viewed as if they haven't done their due diligence on this thing. So interesting stuff and a rough and awkward close to what was a rough and awkward evening for the Warriors themselves in Sacramento. Kelly Oubre stays. You go out and get thumped by the Kings, and now Kelly Oubre doesn't want to answer questions about his future. And again, his prerogative, but that doesn't mean that it's going away because the truth of the matter and the rat on the table is, and I can't say this more clearly, Kelly Oubre's future tonight at 10:30 is more relevant a storyline than the fact that the Warriors, without Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, got hammered by 22 in Sacramento. Like, because that has to do with Steph and Clay and Wiggins, and can you be a championship contending team again? And if Oubre isn't willing to come off the bench, then they can't keep him. And if they can't keep him, how do they bring in another player to fill that roster slot? And if they don't bring anybody back to fill that roster slot, then how do they improve this team and get it back to a championship caliber level? So all those things are tied in hand in hand. We don't have the answer tonight, and we're not going to have the answer May 16th when the regular season ends, and we're not going to have the answer until they figure out when the hell free agency is going to be after the NBA finals are all said and done come July. But at the same time, that decision for the Warriors to not move him, it will be looked back on if he winds up not staying and the Warriors don't have an ability to fill that spot on the roster with another good player. That will be something that will be reviewed and discussed and gone over and over and over and over and debated as to whether or not it was a mistake at that point. So rough end to the evening and an awkward end to the evening, but there's no question this thing isn't going away. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up with John Dickinson here on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors do lose tonight in Sacramento, 141-119. Rough one for Golden State. Rough one for James Wiseman. It was a career night offensively for Nico Mannion. He did score 19 points on 5 of 12 shooting. He knocked down 5 three-pointers. But he was a part of the issues that were everybody's issues for the Warriors in being unable to handle De'Aaron Fox tonight, who went for a career high on the Sacramento side of things, 44 points in this ball game for De'Aaron Fox. Let's get to who's hot and who's not, which is sponsored by Exergen. And for tonight, we'll give the nod to Juan Toscano-Anderson. Haven't mentioned JTA in the post game tonight, but he played very well in this one. 6 of 6, knocked down 3 three-pointers, 15 points, and it just seems like anytime he's asked to be plugged in when the Warriors are a little bit shorthanded, he makes a positive impact on the game. And I know Steve Kerr has likened him to almost a Draymond Jr. Type. I think that's what makes it so seamless for him to go into the lineup when Draymond Green is out. And he brought it tonight. And I thought he brought it in terms of trying to be a leader on a couple of different occasions when James Wiseman was really struggling. At one point, the microphone by the basket caught Juan Toscano-Anderson, you know, telling him, you know, keep playing, keep pushing through. And I think that's big. I think that's big. I think Wiseman needs veteran players, even veteran players that maybe don't have the NBA experience of a Draymond or a Steph, even a guy like Juan Toscano-Anderson that's been through it in terms of his journey to get into the NBA. I think getting that push from somebody like JTA. It's beneficial because the one thing you worry about, I think, big picture with Wiseman and really even short term with Wiseman is just him getting down on himself. Like you want him to play with some of the aggression that he played with when he was clearly ticked off that he got benched against the Clippers. And it felt like that aggression carried him all the way through the Utah game. He played great in that fourth quarter of mop up time. And then it filters right into the Sunday game against the Clippers, and you want him to continue to play with that level of aggression, or who's not for tonight. It's got to be James Wiseman, unfortunately. The 3 of 8 really struggled on the interior, just didn't look comfortable, he's going through what's been a rough couple of games here as he's been inserted into the starting lineup. But, again, that's part of the deal for a young player, that's what player development looks like. It's going to be flashes of good, and you hope it leads to great at some point down the line. But player development at times is James Wiseman really struggling, or Jordan Poole fighting his way through a 5-for-13 shooting night, or Nico Mannion going for a career high on offense and then being among many in a small group of Warriors players tonight that got absolutely eviscerated by De'Aaron Fox on the defensive end. You got to take the good with the bad, and you hope you win a couple of games along the way. And I think all is not lost for this Warriors team, even though they do dip below 500 for the first time since January 1st. And it's not going to get any easier tomorrow. And Chicago made the trade for Nikola Vucevic, who's been a handful for the Warriors this season in a couple of games with Orlando. He's now a Bull, and they're going to see him on Monday night. But if the Warriors can figure out a way to bounce back and get maybe one of these next two before hopefully Steph comes back a week from tonight, a game under 500, a lot of games still in hand. If they get Steph, if they get Draymond back, they can still, I think, continue down the path of trying to win games for the remainder of this season, and also trying to continue to develop some of the young players that they have moving forward. Warriors wrap up here, final couple of minutes on 95.7 The Game. Let's hear a little bit more from the post game, and we'll hear from Juan Toscano-Anderson. Mentioned the leadership on display for Juan Toscano-Anderson relating to James Wiseman, and Juan Toscano-Anderson addressed what he told James Wiseman.
I try to find value anywhere I can on a team. You know, there's more facets to being a championship team or being a competitive team than just, you know, being on the floor. And so, like I said in the last interview I did, man, that kid's 19 years old. It's the NBA. It's the best league in the world. So many people are out there criticizing him, and I just don't understand it. And I'm going to stand on my words. Like, he's at the pinnacle of his profession. I just feel like if you're not at the pinnacle of your profession, then why are you out here criticizing a 19-year-old kid? And so I just stay in his ear, man. I tell him to have fun. He's worked so hard. His family has sacrificed so much, you know, for him to get to this point and achieve his dream. It's hard. Like I said, it's the NBA. It's the best league in the world. You're going to have ups and downs, and it's a learning curve for him. And so I just always continue to tell him to smile. Like, I'm still learning, you know, how to play in this league and so much more. So just enjoy it. Have fun, because the fact of the matter is you don't know how long you're going to be playing basketball. I will never, ever use anybody else as an example. So for myself, you know, my career could end tomorrow, could end the next day. And so I just want to go out having fun every time I step on that floor, because it's fun. You know, we've worked so hard to play in the NBA, play on TV, make great money, and everything else that comes with it. So, you know, it's a game. You're going to have bad days sometimes. You're going to lose some games. And so he'll be all right, man. Like I said, and I'm going to stand on my words, that kid's going to be a monster in years to come.
Yeah, and I think everybody believes that he's got the ability. It's just a matter of working through it. And I think having that positive reinforcement is paramount for his growth. I think there will be a time where we're going to look back and it's going to be, man, remember when James Wiseman struggled against the Kings? Remember when James Wiseman struggled in this game or that game? And you'll think, man, think about the way that Jordan Poole has been talked about the last, you know, maybe take the last two games out of it, but the 8 or 9 games before that. And the level that he was playing at looked like a completely different guy, more comfortable, game slowing down for him. Just look like he's grown up in the league. And I think those days are coming for James Wiseman. It's just going to take time. It's just going to take continued development. And it's just going to take the positive encouragement that players like Juan Toscano-Anderson and others have provided him as he continues to grow. All right, that's going to do it for me tonight. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Here on 95.7 The Game, 5:30 with Warriors Live. Quick turnaround for Golden State, and I think they'll be happy to have it as they are home for the Atlanta Hawks. Again, 5:30 right here on 95.7 The Game for the Warriors and the Hawks. We'll have Warriors Live for you. It'll be myself, Matt Kolsky, is sitting in again for Ryan Covey, as Covey has a couple of days off here. Jim Barnett will join us for that one, and then the Warriors are going to take on the Atlanta Hawks with tip-off scheduled for 7 p.m., and then I'll have Warriors wrap up for you after the ball game. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about Kelly Oubre Jr. and what he had to say post game in what was a strange and awkward and really, I would say, somewhat needlessly contentious post game Zoom press conference with him and the local media on a day where he winds up staying as a member of the Golden State Warriors at the trade deadline. So 5:30 tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game. That will do it. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Ryan Mauser as well. Great job by one and all. Again, 5:30 tomorrow, Warriors and the Atlanta Hawks. That'll do it. Kings beat the Dubs tonight, 141-119. And you heard it all right here in your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Good night.